Portion of your word. Help us as individuals be zealous in our pursuit of the kingdom, Lord, and that we be each convicted in our own way to seek out the truth and to know it and to be able to prove it to those who would ask questions of us. Lord, we ask that as this night continues, that the discussion be uplifting to each and every one of us, and as we go our separate ways in the coming week, that we be encouraged and we know that what we are doing is the right thing, Lord. We ask these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, sir. Mallory? What is this class about?
I don't know.
How do you not know? This is your class. You're like already in college.
If I know, then I'm gonna actually be asking you this question.
Fair. Oh my goodness.
Squeeze in.
Squeeze in, everyone. Y'all have enough chairs, so we need to go get some more? No?
I will get
you add a couple more on that door. Right. All right. So welcome to our high school friends tonight, to the college class here on the Accelerated program. So we're going to do a little bit of a review tonight, and I apologize to the people who are usually in this class. I think y'all heard me saying earlier that those questions Gary gave out on Sunday, they're good questions, and we're going to talk about them at some point. It's just those questions can be slightly controversial, and I would happily let that let the floor be open for discussion. I'm just not 100% on board with that without like David being here. So I figure, hey, if we're gonna critique the elders and make decisions about what we would do and how we do it, obviously it would probably be the same as how they handled it, but I feel like it's probably more beneficial if we had an elder in the room to kind of guide us through that thought process and talk about that. So if you did it, great job. Hope you enjoyed it and you can think about it on your way down the Tampa. So, the whole way, the entire way. So, with that being said, we had to call a little bit of an audible. Dad, who was teaching the high school class, was exposed to COVID on Monday. He's fine, he feels fine. He just wanted to be cautious. And then Johnny's traveling, so then you guys got to come hang out with us. And Gary is also quarantined because he's going to Tampa City, right? So here we all are together. So I asked Ryan to come in here and hang out with us tonight. Wasn't sure if Matt was going to be able to join us or not, but it's good to see him too. So you guys jump in at any point, but we're going to do, for the sake of repetitiveness, just a little bit of a review of what this class is about. But I'm not going to sit here and talk the whole time because, as you can tell, I'm about to lose my voice anyways. So, it's going to be a lot of discussion, and I'm going to lean on you guys to talk, all right? You know how I talk a lot on Sunday mornings, and you guys like watch me, and then I always ask y'all how to energy, and I don't, so you're supposed to talk, and so we're going to do it. It's going to be cool. So, Cam, my man, the bearded wonder. Yes. What is this class about? Tell our high school friends.
Okay, the class is called Foundations of Our Faith, and it is entirely designed around...
Don't tell them everything, just a little bit.
The book was written in 1996.
Just a little bit.
Fun fact, we don't actually get a book, because it's... Oh, hey.
What's going on?
Can you add two
more? I'm at capacity.
Two more.
Hey, oh, by the way, we're supposed to be doing scenarios regarding the elders and their decision making.
Yeah.
So David couldn't make it, so I'd like to welcome our two newest elders to the classroom tonight. Come on.
We got all the answers.
Easy. Yeah. Okay. Thank you all. My goodness gracious. Hey, make sure Mike knows we now have four more than what he has in his class.
Oh, he's already counting.
Yeah, I just want to make sure he knows that we got more. So, foundations of our faith. What's that mean? What's foundations of our faith mean?
What keeps us strong?
What keeps us strong?
In the faith.
Foundations of my faith are what my parents told me to believe as I was growing up. Truth?
No.
Why?
Partially.
What?
Partially.
Ooh, we got a no, we got a partially.
I agree. I'm changing my mind.
Why?
Because I thought about it after he said that, and he's right.
I'll say no.
You say no? Oh, yes.
To a certain degree.
Oh, it's getting good up here.
If what they told you was correct, according to my.
Okay, I like it. I like it. Matt, give us a spill. What's your thought process? What goes on between the foundations of our faith and what it's based upon?
I think that the biggest thing for young people in general, because everybody becomes, if they're lucky, old one day, right?
Right.
But when you're young, it is a religion of your parents, because you're carried whenever you're a young child, unless you're someone who has seen another family, and then you go and you visit with them, or you find the church in another way. But the majority of us, at least myself included, I grew up in the church. My parents carried me when I was young. I was taught. I understood. But my understanding of it evolved as I got older. And when you get out into the world and you get around other people that are not of the same mindset, not of the faith, it can be a little bit shaky. So if your foundation is weak, you know, and what you're grounded on, it's just the religion of your parents and not your religion, then you're going to be a weak Christian. And you have that potential of falling away and, you know.
Yeah, and we're gonna dive into this a little bit more. Mallory, what's behind your thought process?
Well, the Bible is what we're supposed to base what we believe. And if our parents teach us what's from the Bible, then that's right. And if they don't, then it's not.
Perfect. You just reminded me. It's like I told Bear, like, man, hey, look, if you ever get asked a question in Bible class, you said Jesus or you said Bible. It's always right. Ian, what you thinking?
I had to comment on both of those thoughts.
We need enough chair.
I'll agree to the point of Matt in that it would be
the puzzle class.
Since I'm too old.
I'm going to have you start over once we find it.
Pretty loud.
Sorry. You ready? Okay. Rewind.
So I'll compromise on Matt with this, and then I think the parents' faith could be a mold with which you can build your foundation around, and then you would probably tinker with that mold as you grow up. But, you know, at what point is it just, I go to church because my parents go to church, and I go to church because I want to go to church.
Excellent point.
And then to Mallory's point, well, I can understand and agree. How do you know that what your parents are teaching you is from the Bible, and are they teaching all of the Bible, or are they only picking verses out of the Bible?
Excellent point. Has anybody disagreed with anything yet? No? Good. Let's keep going.
So, I mean, just to give an example, whether we like it or not, whether the information is good or not, we're going to get a foundation from our parents.
That's right.
So, no matter what they tell us, that's going to be foundational for us. I mean, if your parents never spoke to you and just closed you in a room, you'd probably have a pretty poor foundation. Whatever your parents are saying, however they're talking, whatever their speech sounds like, whatever their, you know, their verbiage is when they're speaking to different people in front of you or to you, whether you like it or not, that's going to become a foundation for you.
Yeah, and that goes for more than just your faith, right? Remember, some of the college people always talked about this in the very beginning. We talked about social norms, sociology, right? You are, or a piece of you becomes who you're around and the surroundings that you're a part of, all right? Culturally, is what happens. Excellent point. Cam?
I mean, I fully agree with whatever it said so far. Parents for sure lay the groundwork for it, but it is our job to actually build upon it. I mean, I'd say that, yes, you do have to learn the gospel before, like, you're baptized and stuff, I would say, looking at baptism, that that is the moment that it should shift from just a parent's religion to your religion, because at that point, you are making a conscious effort on your part to save your soul.
That's right.
And as much as your parents, I'm sure, would love to, they can't save your soul on their own.
That's right. Excellent. I agree with all of that, and that is all very good points. So something, you know, one of the main reasons that we wanted to have this class and have this discussion is because we see so many people in the, like, the high school age, college age, into like the young 30s, like in the late 20s, right? You start trying to think about things differently, and because you have that separation from your parents where you grow up and they tell you what to do, what you can and cannot do. Y'all going through that right now a little bit? I remember sometimes, like, my parents get told me, man, the sky's blue. I'm like, it's not blue. It's like, pastel light. It's like a pastel light. But, like, I would just argue, you know, under my breath, just like, yeah, I don't tell you so. Like, you know, you just argue with them because you, but it's this kind of this control of, like, their influence versus your independence. You remember that? And, like, I remember going through that in high school as far as just your basic, like, day-to-day stuff. But then I went through it in college on a little bit bigger scale. It was like, what can I do to establish who I am outside of my parents? And when you ask that question, you start defining who you are, essentially. What makes you tick? What makes, like, what career do you want to have? And how is that going to influence who you are? Personally, professionally, spiritually. Let me tell you, what you choose to do will affect all three of those things. 100%. And as you start defining your independence, one of the massive pillars, the pillar of most importance, is your faith. And if you choose just to believe all the things that your parents taught you, that may be a good thing, but it could be a bad thing, because at that point, your faith shouldn't just be what your parents told you to believe. Your faith has to be based upon the foundation of what you have studied and you know to be the truth. And hopefully that's what your parents' faith is built. And hopefully that's what their influence has led you to be once you define those moments.
I was just going to say, you guys are leaving for FC on Thursday. Friday morning, you're going to wake up. It's going to be a new life for you guys. You're not going to have anybody telling you what to do, where to go, what time to be there. And then when the weekend rolls around, Sunday's going to come, and you're going to have that choice, and it's going to be, you know, something that you've never faced before, and it's going to be fresh, and it's going to be new, it's going to be exciting. But just don't lose what you have now, what you've been given this whole time while you've been underneath your parents' house. Because I remember that first morning I woke up after I wasn't home. And it was kind of scary. And I had choices to make. And some people that have lived at home for so long get that freedom. And that's when they go crazy, right? They go to the complete opposite end of the spectrum, to where they don't go to church, or they just get this rush of freedom and they misuse it. But use those feelings to keep yourself on track and to, you know, stay motivated and find yourself, find those groups. You know, FC is a great place for that, obviously. And then even if you're not going to FC, you know, find those groups of people that are going to be like-minded like you, because it's going to be easy to get off course, and it's going to be easy for other people, especially this world is so vocal today. This world is so loud, and they're screaming their opinions where they used to just whisper them. So just be cautious of that, because the world feels like they're winning, to be honest with you.
And that's an excellent point, right? And it reminds me of a story that I told the college class. You know, I think everybody goes to camp or has gone to camp at some point, right? Like, those are the types of settings that you feel like you can put your guard down because you're with people of like faith. And in a lot of instances, that's true, like FC as well. However,
not everybody goes to FC as a Christian.
That's right. But even some of the people that do go to FC that are Christians fall away. Just like the people I was telling you about at church camp, right? Like, some of my closest friends don't even go to church anymore. And there were some of the people that, you know, you're holding hands with, and you're seeing the light, the fire around the campfire, and you're like lifting each other up, and you're edifying one another. And all of a sudden, it's like, what's happened between where we were so strong and we were holding each other accountable for our faith to now you don't even go to church and you think the whole thing is a hoax.
1 year later.
Yeah, like it's crazy. And for like even just looking at the chapters of life, it's like, what makes you go there? And it goes back, and the answer is people lacking the time and effort to go back and evaluate, self-evaluate your faith. And understanding that, you know, my foundation is built upon the sacrifice that Jesus made, built upon God's love, God's grace, His commandments for us to believe and to be baptized. Like, you've got to believe that that's real, and that's who you are, and that's who you want to be.
And you got to make those verbal commitments to those things. You got to say that I'm going to look for a spouse that's going to help me get to heaven. Mm-hmm. I'm going to marry a Christian. Let me tell you, my sister and I both grew up in the church, and my sister's fallen away. She married a guy that pulled her away and threatened to leave her if they didn't go to the Baptist church. And now they don't even go to church at all. And so what I'm just trying to say is make those verbal commitments to yourself that you're going to continue to go to church. You're going to look for a spouse that's going to help you get to heaven. You're going to choose a job that's not going to pull you away. And just keep saying those things to yourselves, because I'm telling you right now, those choices that you make now can greatly affect you later. I mean, I thank God every day for Emily and how she has helped me, because she truly is what, you know, the definition of a helpmeet is for a wife, you know. And so without her, I may not be where I'm at today spiritually or even physically, emotionally, or anything. So it's very important that you keep yourself on track and make those goals known.
Do you guys remember?
But I'm going to make a point here on this. Those have to be your goals. Those can't just be goals that you're saying or he's saying or I'm saying. Those have to be your goals. If those are, you're just doing these because someone told you, they're not really your goals, and therefore your foundation will not be as strong as you would hope to be. It has to be yours and yours,
that's right,
yours alone.
That's an excellent point, Ian. And that's what this whole, I mean, that's a perfect summary of what this class is. Is knowing your own faith, owning your own faith, making sure it's your faith, because guess what? When you have your own faith established, that is when you establish the strength that you need to battle the challenges of faith and of living in this world. In the world. Let me tell you something. Like, I joke around about this, but sometimes I'm like real serious. Like, I've told Ryan this because we're big hunters. Like, we go out, we go hunting together, and I'm like, man, I just want to build a house out here, and I never want to see anybody else again. Ever. I mean, ever. Like, literally. Maybe just people at church, like, obviously. But nobody else. I don't want to see anybody else. Like, I'm sitting here scratching my head thinking about some of the things that you guys see already. I mean, I take bear to Target, and there's somebody, I don't even know if it's a he or she or what or it, I don't even know, who's taller than me and very scary looking. And Bear's like looking up at him like, daddy, and I'm like, dude, I don't even know what I'm telling you. Like, I'm looking up at if he, she, whatever, and I'm like, I'm Bear, like, I'm scared too, bro. Like, I don't know. Yeah. So, like, to think about, like, what you guys are going through, it's super scary because I've got kids that are going to go through the same thing. And you got to talk about it, as uncomfortable as it makes us feel, because when you talk about it, the people of like faith, it helps you navigate those difficult situations. So give me something. I want to know, high school, like right now, for me, listen, I grew up in a public high school. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of what you guys have to deal with now as far as like some of this other stuff, the LGBTQ stuff, plus, asterisk, hyphen, whatever. Like, I didn't have that. That one, you know what my big thing was? Poker. Like, all of my teammates on all of my sporting teams wanted to play poker. I don't know how to poker. I don't want to play poker. It's like gambling and all that stuff. And I knew that mom and dad would never let me, so that was like one of the biggest temptations that I had to do, was just always say no to poker because that's what everybody else was doing. Like, they were gambling, play money. And guess what? From freshman year to senior year, it went from, hey, let's just play poker and bet some money back and forth, to, like, by the time they're juniors, smoking cigarettes, and then by the time they're seniors, chugging beer, playing poker. It was like, good thing I never got involved in that from the very beginning. Guess what? I didn't see how that was going to evolve. Guess who did? My parents. They knew. So, high school. Give me something. What are you guys seeing? Like, what are some things that you guys consider, like, challenges of your faith? Like, what makes it hard to be a Christian in high school today?
Bad influences.
Bad influences.
It's hard to find a lot of Christians at high school, where I go.
If somebody asks you if you're a Christian, hey, first of all, let me ask this. If you are a Christian, not just a open, everybody, if you're a Christian in these days where everyone talks about, hey, you're judgmental, you're just like right, wrong, you're judgmental, like, how does everybody answer that? Like, if somebody says, hey, are you a Christian? Like, do you think everybody's going to hell? What's your answer? That's a tough question. What's your answer? Does anybody want to share that? Cam, have you had any instances like that?
Absolutely. Could you repeat the question?
Yeah. Cam, why are you a Christian? Are you one of those people that think everybody else is going to hell?
No.
Okay. Now tell me why. Like, what?
I think that everyone has their opportunities in life to make the correct choices and make the right decisions and choose the right paths in their life to go to heaven or to go to hell.
I like that answer.
So you say there's more than like just one roadway to heaven?
No.
So you think if you don't follow your roadway, I'm going to hell?
I did not say that I was on the correct roadway. I said that I'm trying to follow the right roadway.
But you're saying that if I don't follow what you're doing, then I'm going to hell?
You read Matthew chapter 7?
I'm just playing that way.
No,
I wish he was. No, this is real.
Like, this is what happens.
This is a real question. That's how I respond to them. That's my response to them whenever they say stuff like
is
that.
What?
It's like, have you ever read Matthew chapter 7? That's a very important thing.
Or,
right?
Because can we read it together?
Yeah. And I think that's reasonable because, you know, if you open it up and you read it, it says very, very clearly, Christ is speaking, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does what? The will of my Father. So, I only think those that do the will of God are going to be the ones that go to heaven. How do you know the will of God? You have to read it for yourself.
That's an excellent answer, and one of the things that I always say too is I do my best to live Christ-like. Mm-hmm. Have I always? No, I haven't always. I haven't always. You're not going to. Not an excuse, but just being real, man. Like, you're not always going to be perfect, and if you think that you're always going to be perfect, then you're wrong. You're not. Guess what? Salvation wasn't built for us to be perfect.
Exactly.
It was built because Jesus was perfect. There's a little thing that we don't talk about a whole lot, and it's called grace. And the reason that you have grace is when you're a Christian and you're a believer and you're doing what you can to be Christ-like, because God knows that we're not going to be perfect. We can't use it as a crutch. Be crystal clear on that. You can't use it. I can't climb back here and just like smack somebody, but my bad, man. Grace. Right? I can't like key Ryan's Jeep down the side, but hey, man, payback. My bad. Grace.
Snowplow.
Right? Snowplow. That's right. But grace is real because when you're a Christian, God understands that we're not going to be perfect. He understands we're not going to be perfect. And He has that grace for us because He loves us. And He wants to give us a chance to be able to ask for forgiveness and to do the best that we can to be Christ-like. So when we have these people in our life, in the world today, where the big thing is being accepting. Amen. Accept me. Oh, Okay. Like, maybe I don't agree with how you're living or what you're doing or what you're saying. Like, that doesn't mean I have to accept you. But you know what I am commanded to do?
Love you.
Love you. Because my love, if it's Christ-like, like it should, is the only hope that these people who think differently have to see what it means to be a Christian, to see our faith. Okay.
One thing my mom always says is, love the sinner, not the sin.
Boom. Great example. How often do we get caught up, like, measuring the sin? Like, hey, man, Aiden told me the other day that he scored 32 points in a ball game. I talked to Travis, and it was only 30. Liar! Eh, it's not too bad. So we'll go. On the sin scale, that's a one. And then you think over here, and you're like, man, this guy did, or this girl did something really bad. Like Rachel was hanging out with, like, Ryan Gosling, and she's going to leave Nate. That's really bad. Like, that's, I mean, Ryan Gosling's hot, like, whatever. But, like,
don't say it like that.
Yeah, but she's leaving Nate. So that on the sin scale, that's like a 20. Is that right? Do we think it like this?
Yes.
Why do we do that? Ian, I see it. You want to say something? I want to hear.
No, I just don't think yes. But I mean, we think it like that because we, you know, certain actions have more or less dire consequences. And usually
earthly.
Yes.
Yep. So they have different earthly consequences. So then we feel that we've got to quantify sin.
I think it also comes by us, like, I guess almost naturally comparing ourselves to others.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh, well, at least we're not doing
bad.
Doing what they're doing. And by that, it kind of just levels out to where things just start to seem a little less like, oh, well, at least I'm not doing this.
Mm-hmm. So, like, do you guys think that's a big problem with us Christians? It's a huge problem. It's a huge problem because what it does is we box ourselves into this way of thinking where we're like, I mean, I'm better than them, or I'm not as bad as them. And once you box yourself in and you start thinking like that, then all of a sudden you got these little cliques, you got people who think they're better than other people, then you got people who think that their faith is stronger than others. And guess what? It might be. But if your faith is stronger than mine, instead of secluding yourself, what should you do?
Include yourself.
Include me. It's a completely different mindset that we've got to challenge ourselves to think about. And all these things, you're like, hey, what are you talking about? Like, all these things are tied into understanding your own faith. Because all these things are impossible to do if your mom and dad just tell you to do it. You've got to want and understand why you're doing it.
Back to the sinner, not the sin thing. I don't want to get too far on topic, but I don't understand why it's so difficult for us as humans, especially as Christians, to understand that God does the same for us every single day.
That's right.
He is loving us as sinners every day. And every time we talk about God and giving His Son being given to us as a sacrifice, how does that not hit us every single time we see people who we think are just so, you know, deplorable, so horrible that we can't spend time around them or speak to them?
That's right. And it even goes, like, you can even take it to a different degree where it's like, all right, so you may not be deplorable, right? But you're Baptist. Oh, like, you better stay over there and stay in your lane, right? Like, I remember, like, when I first met Rach, and she's like, hey, I'm Baptist. I was like, oh, here we go. Like, what am I going to do here? She's way off base. All right? Remember, I told the college classes, remember what we did? You enter that with an open mind. Goes back to Ryan's point. You enter that with an open mind. She can't have her faith built upon what I tell her to believe. So we studied that. I agreed to have an open mind to what she was taught if she would have an open mind to what I was taught. And then together we challenge one another to develop our own faith, understand why we believe what we believe. Guess what? It's amazing. When you dive into the scriptures, unbiased, truly unbiased, willing to look at it and understand what you're reading, where it leads you.
And to me, and this is just kind of going off that same point, I can think of at least 6 or 7 people that I know that are members of the church, and this is just the ones that I know of that studied it for themselves and came to a realization of the truth, even though they were a member of a denomination. Mm-hmm. And that to me is very encouraging because it means that you can read the gospel the way it's written and come to an understanding.
That's right.
You don't have to have somebody there that has to teach it to you and explain it to you. If you read it yourself, you study it, you can come to that understanding. Now, of course, there's people out there that have very good wisdom in their years of study, and they can share it with you, just like the elders of the church. Mm-hmm. But
that's an excellent point.
But that to me is encouraging.
Yep.
That the source material is that good.
It's that good, that clear, right? Let's go back here. Bad influences. Give me something else, high school.
Well, in our high school class, we're talking about modesty, so that's okay. One.
Modesty. Right. Is that a problem in today's world? Oh, yeah. Big one. Yes, sir.
I was going to say judgments next.
That's an excellent one.
I just have a question on the modesty thing in high school. Has the rules changed? If there's any rules like above the knee, or are they calling that stuff out anymore? Or are they even
the dress code is don't show your genitals.
That's what it says.
Yeah, that's our dress code.
Don't show your genitals.
What? It says that?
That's the dress code.
Basically wear anything.
What about for the girls?
Next. What else? I'm not writing that. I'm not writing. Listen, I'm not writing two of those on the sports chart. Abby?
Language, you hear it everywhere. You can't get away from it.
Do they even snap back on that if teachers hear you cussing in school?
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
What?
I think she, closer when y'all go back to school, I mean, Ryan was like, he went to high school in like 80s, but for me, I was like 87. I'm 2012.
You just
whatever. But no, I mean back in high school for me, like it was pretty strict. Like it was knees. Yeah. Like this seriously was in 2005. Like your shorts had to be to your knees, and this was not a private school. Like this was public school.
Yeah.
Language, get hurt cussing, like you big trouble.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you couldn't even wear a hat.
Like, no hat.
You couldn't wear a hat.
2009, same thing. Where I went to school at high school. Dress code was pretty strict. Language was pretty strict. You said something in the classroom, you'd get written up.
Yeah.
There was no talking back to the teachers.
Oh, absolutely
zero.
Not.
Zero. There's also just boys and girls and all this other stuff, so whatever. college? What? Tell me some college stuff.
Scheduling.
Oh, that's a good one. So, I know what I think about when I hear scheduling. What do you think about? Like, define that for me.
Night classes.
And what's that take away from?
Time at church or like getting to church on time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sundays are no longer sacred.
That's right.
Ball practice.
All
I
kinds
mean,
of stuff.
Soccer practice, coaches meetings on Sundays and Wednesdays. I'm like, when did this happen?
You're exactly right. And that's the stuff like we deal with now. So you see, like, it doesn't get better. Like, as you go through the phases of life.
You should put adult.
It just changes.
Adult. Oh, there's going to be a decent amount of overlap there.
Oh, yeah. Sunday.
Can I have one thing in scheduling?
Yeah.
Sorry, priority.
Priorities.
That's prioritization would be another one, just priority. Because that is the hardest thing for me in my life as a Christian. It's just trying to figure out with all the different, scheduling and then the things that I have responsibilities at the hospital, at home, with friends. That's so hard because then you want to make sure that Christ and, everything here at the church has its place.
Yeah.
It's like, how much do I really want to spend outside of here when I'm here using up that other time? You have to make it a priority.
Right. I'm the same way. Like, I sit down at night and I look, I'm like, I got 15 missed calls. I'm not joking, like 30 text messages. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my goodness gracious, right? And that kind of goes back earlier to pick better careers.
Absolutely.
Right, pick better careers. So, like it. What else? Give me a couple more for college. being away from home, just being away from
your family.
Your family. Yeah.
That's super scary, I'm sure.
Partying over studying.
Partying over studying. What type of partying are you talking about?
Just like the normal stuff. I mean, I...
Normal stuff.
Basically,
what's normal for you, bro?
Well, basically what the world classifies as partying. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to who they drop out of college or they go to college strictly for the party.
Yeah.
And they totally forget about this.
That's one thing that's never changed.
But, hey, so bring this in for my FC folks. So I was a basketball player, so I went to FC for my like recruiting visit. I'm like, real cool, like this is awesome, like I'm super jacked up about it. So I get down there and I meet some of my boys. Like we're hanging out, we're having a good time, we go eat, we come back to the dorm. And like, this is when they had a baseball team. They no longer have the baseball team for a reason. Like, yeah. So you're down at FC, you put your guard down a little bit, right? Put your guard down, I'm in FC. It's all cool, it's all good. Like, we're hanging out, one baseball player pops their head and they're just like, hey, man, you guys want to go with us? We're going to go up. Like, we're going to head down to the park. I'm going to go to the park. Like, playing Madden. Like, I'm going to go to the park. He's like, man, we're going to go smoke some weed. I'm like, what? He's like, we're at SC. They're like, weed, man? Like, I'm going to go smoke weed? Like, y'all smoking weed down at SC? Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, man, we smoke weed all the time out here. I'm like, this is not what I thought it was going to be, but you know what? That's just a few, because there's always just a few in every group, and you cannot put your guard down. You cannot put your guard down, no matter where you are. All right. 10 minutes. Let's do this. So these are your challenges. Okay? We've done this before. SWOT analysis, this is my go-to. Like any time that I have anything that I've been with any of my teams, I'll always go to SWOT analysis, and the reason I do that is because you can always pull some really good information out of the SWOT analysis. And this is also one of those things that my dad used to do when I was younger. I'm like, I'm never gonna do this ever, 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 and I do it like once a week. Mm-hmm. So, what does the S stand for?
Strengths.
What's the W stand for? What's the O stand for? What? Thank you. That was aggressive, sorry. T? Threats. When you do a SWOT analysis of your faith, it's important to understand, what are some things I'm good at? What are some things I'm good at? What are some good things that you're good at?
Asking difficult questions. So it's probably easier to talk about weaknesses.
It is sometimes, and I've got to ask strengths and work my way down the list. I'm gonna tell you one of your strengths. It's this right here. You are, my friend, a critical thinker. And I love that about you, because a lot of times you bring up things in ways that I hadn't thought about before. Sometimes I like to think I'm a critical thinker, but I don't really think I am. But maybe I am. I don't know.
It's because you're being critical.
To be or to not. But Ian is a critical thinker. He's a good critical thinker. You have to understand your strengths of your faith. It can be as simple as saying, hey, I'm a pretty good teacher, or I'm a pretty good song leader. So, you know, I'm going to lead worship and lead the songs. It's a strength of mine. I'm pretty good at talking to people. I'm pretty good at helping people. I'm pretty good at, you know, being a good listener. Oh! For those in the back, left, Cartwright, and then, who am I missing? Alex. I used to always give him more time. I'm like, hey, you guys like girls one day, let me know. But now that you're on the high school class, I'm allowed to say that in my college class. So, let me tell y'all something. Be a good listener. Listening is an amazing attribute. You can hear all day long, But if you're not listening, then it doesn't matter. Be a good listener. When people talk to you, especially someone that you may be courting, old school term for dating, they want to know that when you talk to them, you're listening. Same goes with being a good friend. When you've got somebody that wants to talk to you about something, whether it's about the faith, whether it's about something else that's personal, or whether it's about the job, listen to them. Put your phones down and listen. Listening is a tremendous strength for some and a tremendous weakness for others.
Two ears, one mouth.
What's that?
Two ears, one mouth.
God gives two ears and one mouth for a reason. Listen, listen, listen. On to weaknesses. Ian says it's easier to talk about your weaknesses. Why is it important to understand your weaknesses of your faith?
So you know where to improve.
So you know where to improve.
Shore up defenses if you will.
Put up defenses. Get better. Talk about it. You two are friends. Like, right? I mean, I think y'all got like an Instagram together. So, I mean, what's a weakness? Like, Ryan's my friend. Matt's my friend. Like, if I want to talk about my weaknesses to them and my faith, I'm probably going to ask Ryan because he's looking at me real weird, so I'll probably talk to Matt. Right? But
it's HIPAA compliant stuff. It's fine.
Yes, yeah, it
stays between
us. It stays between us.
Yeah.
But you have to understand where you're weak so that you can get better in your faith. It's part of growing. When you're not growing, you've stalled out. If you're not growing, you're not getting any better. You're becoming susceptible to sin. Your faith is something that requires purpose, attention, dedicated attention over time so that it gets stronger.
Acronym for that. I mean, not acronym, but like the thing is like the bodybuilder with the chicken legs.
Yep.
It's focused on what he's good at and not what he's weak at.
That's right. That's an excellent. That's excellent. Excellent example. What's opportunities mean?
What can you do now that you know your strengths and weaknesses?
What can you do with those? Like, who cares if you've got all these strengths and weaknesses that you're working on if you're not doing what?
Using them.
Finding ways to use them. I know, I'm a pretty good song there, but I'm not leave the signal. By the way, that's all false. I'm not against all of those. Why I don't. So, but, like, seek these opportunities. I'm a good listener, but I'm not going to reach out to anybody that I think may need some help. What sense does that make? Understand these opportunities in your faith to grow. Understand your strengths, understand your weaknesses, understand the people that you're around, understand their strengths, their weaknesses. Be the ear. Be the example that helps them strengthen their faith. All right. Threats.
What challenges your strengths and exasperates your weaknesses?
Say that again.
What challenges your strengths and exasperates your weaknesses?
What do you mean by that?
As in, what is going to test would be a better word than challenge. What is going to make you say, oh, you think you're strong in that? We'll try this. And as for weaknesses, what's going to see that weakness and go, let's make that hole or that crack much bigger?
That's right. Threats, anytime that you perceive threats in any type of environment, it's understanding truly what is something that can alter in a negative way what I'm comfortable with or what I know to be. What are these things? What are challenges? Where do challenges fall in that SWOT analysis?
Threats.
Threats? Where else do they fall?
Weaknesses.
Weaknesses.
They're in all four of them.
They're
SWOT
in all.
SWOT is used to go through the challenge. What strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats are all being challenged.
Ding, ding, ding. Right? These bad influences. We can go one by one. One of the things that Dad always said to me when I walked out the door, it made sense, I rolled my eyes, but it's so true. It's like influence. Like, is there ever a time that you're with someone that influence isn't there? ever. No. You're either influencing them in one way